As everybody gets up to leave, how we're used to that, guys. Don't worry about it. Looking at these young people leaving, I just want to encourage you folks here that there's hope for the future. We sometimes tend to be a little pessimistic and a little bit down about what's happening here at Kenilworth Gospel Chapel. But yesterday, at Christian Missions in Mainland, there were 95 young people, junior, senior high age. We took five down from Kenilworth. And they were there for a good time of fellowship and fun and challenge from the Word from Justin Gavain, who is a missionary in Niger. And they had a great time. They had hamburgers and hot dogs, and they had games outside. And those that were there were really spiritually minded. They wanted to know what God's will was for their lives. So Ari was one of our group, and some others from the chapel went down. So be encouraged that things are happening here among our young people. And sure, we'd like to see more numerical growth to our assembly. We're glad for you folks that are here this morning, some visitors back again. We'd like to see you come back week after week. About a week or so ago, I was down in Virginia. I'm on the board for the Oscar C. Rickson Foundation. We meet once a year to distribute funds to the Lord's servants around the world. It's kind of a fun thing to do, to give out money. It's really neat to be able to see the Lord provide. And before the start of the sessions, I have a distant cousin whose husband is the chairman of the board for this foundation. Her name is Lee Monroe, which happens to be my mom's maiden name, my middle name. And she told me, she says, before the meal tonight, she said, I've got a surprise for you. I've got something I want to give to you. I said, oh, yeah? Sure, I love surprises. So she gave me a green envelope, and inside was a picture that I'm going to show you right here of my mom and dad on their wedding anniversary. Their wedding day, October the 14th, 1939. And she says, would you like to have this? I said, yes, love to have this picture. Well, that night I went back to my room and I got the picture out and I just started to look at it and just started to reminisce about my mom, knowing that today was Mother's Day. And how many wonderful, wonderful thoughts came back to my heart in a thankful spirit, even though she's long gone now with the Lord, to thank God for the influence that my mom had on my life. What a testimony she was to us as four brothers growing up in that home in Yonkers. And I thought, you know, it might be a good idea for once for us to get the pictures out once in a while, go back to the old pictures of maybe our parents' wedding and our own wedding, and just reminisce about the influence that these people have on our lives. I think about my mom. She was a very gracious woman that was given to hospitality every Sunday, just about. There were people in our home for a meal. She entertained missionaries. She loved her kids. She loved me. She supported me and my basketball all through high school. I think she attended as many games as she could. She supported me. She was there for me at all the time. So it's just good to reminisce, and I thank God for each one and some other here today. But I have to balance that out, because my wife was mentioning that she saw something on Facebook about an individual writing to the effect that, you know, I really dread Mother's Day because I'm not a mom. Or it may be that a mother that I had was not a good mom. And so Mother's Day brings back negative thoughts about a home situation. And that's sad when that has to happen. And I've said, you know, I said, Lord, thankful. I'm thankful that I was raised in a godly Christian home, that I had a mom and a dad that loved the Lord with all of their hearts, soul, and mind, and sought to introduce their children to the gospel at a young age. And for the most part, all of those growing up years, there were a couple of turbulent years as a teenager when I probably gave my mom a great deal of concern for what direction I was going in, but that was short-lived. I'm thankful that she was always there for me. My dad, too, but today is Mother's Day. And for you that are moms out there, we honor you, we respect you, we acknowledge your contributions to our assembly. A potted plant doesn't amount to a whole lot, but as you plant that, it's just our way of saying thank you for being part of our fellowship here. And for those of you who aren't mothers for various reasons, we're glad that you're here, too. And the message that I have today is geared for really everyone. We're going to be looking again at Proverbs chapter 31, and you know that particular chapter talks about a very special person, a woman But that woman represents womanhood. It doesn't represent moms, but it represents even all of us as men. But before you turn to there, turn to the Gospel of Matthew for an introductory verse. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. I want to talk this morning about each one of us, male, female, young or old, in between. We ought to be, as our life's desire, to be a godly life, to live a godly life, to be a person of character, to let our light shine in the dark world in which we live. Verse 16 says, or 15 for context, do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand and gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I should have started with verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. If you are a Christian and you have invited Christ to be the center of your life, that he's your Savior, it's our tremendous privilege to be a light in this dark world. We are the light of the world. He has given us his light through the new birth. And that light should shine forth brightly to all around us. The writer says, you know, you don't see if a city is on top of a hill, it can't really be hidden. It's there for all to see. We're not to hide our light under a bushel. Our light is to be shining forth freely and brightly. Let your light so shine before men. For what reason? Well, that they may see your good works. But right away, the writer adds, and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, we often quote Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Not of works. Not of works. I hope there's no one here this morning that's dependent upon your efforts, your works to save you. It was a quote that I wrote down here from Martin Luther many years ago. He says, I'm not against works that we contend, but against rest and trust in our works. Works are a part of our lifestyle, but they have nothing to do with our becoming a Christian. Becoming a Christian is accepting God's offer of salvation, his free gift in his Son. And all you have to do is reach out and take that gift. And then the good works follow, as we know. We quote verses 8 and 9, but oftentimes we leave off verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I had two comments here on that verse 10. God made us what we are now. He gave us both our salvation and the faith by which to receive it. But we've also been created anew, given a new beginning and a new nature so that we can go and do good works that from the beginning he planned for us to do. I don't know if that makes sense to you. God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. Once he saves us, that plan and purpose is to live out a life of good works that demonstrate the reality of our faith in Christ that brings glory to God in heaven. Good works are a vital part of our Christian experience. We are his workmanship. He planned it out. It's not a hit or miss proposition. It's designed that each one of us glorify God and give him the honor and give him the credit for what he will do through our lives. We hide our lights sometimes. How can we hide our lights? I wrote down a couple of things here just by thinking about this fact that the Bible tells us here, let your light so shine. How come it is that sometimes our lights don't shine very brightly? I say to myself, I still have neighbors that probably don't even know that we're Christians. That's not good. We pray for our neighbors each morning, but we just go so far on each side of the street. But there's still opportunities to really shine our lights before them. We hide our lights by sometimes being quiet when we should speak out. When we have an opportunity to be a witness and we remain quiet, the light has been dimmed. We're going along with the crowd. Oftentimes, this is what happens to young people. That's what happened to me. I gave into the peer pressure. I'm not blaming them. I'm blaming myself for being foolish and just going along with the crowd. My light that shone brightly in high school in ninth grade was dimmed towards 10th grade and was out in 11th grade. Shame, I had to waste 2 years of my life that could have been used for the glory of God. Not that I was such a bad guy, but I had no interest in spiritual things. There was no works being demonstrated. There was no light in my life. I was going along with the crowd, picking up the same routines and habits that they did. Sometimes there are people that deny the light. They deny it. They shut it out entirely. They resent what has happened in their lives and they walk away from it. I don't know how anybody can walk away from the Lord. We sang a song this morning. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. So once you make that commitment to the Lord, and that's sometimes evidenced in baptism. We've got a couple of people going to be baptized next Sunday. Larry and Matt Curtin. And if you're here this morning and you're a believer, and you've never followed the Lord in baptism, it's not too late to be baptized this Sunday. You need to talk to us, because we need to talk to you about your testimony, and whether you're saved or not, and things like that are important. But baptism is like putting on the uniform of a Christian. That's what Dick Arthur used to say. Putting on the uniform of a Christian. And letting your lights shine before everyone that's observing you, that I am not embarrassed, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, I will live my life for the Lord each and every day of my life to the very end. No turning back. No turning back. No denying the light, and no letting that light grow dim. The light grows dim in our lives when we sometimes fail to identify more fully with the local fellowship of believers. We really, I don't think it's healthy just to depend upon 11 o'clock Sunday morning or the spiritual input in your life. It has to be more than that. The spiritual input that you get here is significant and helpful, and we want you to come out at 11 o'clock to hear the word, to get your kids in Sunday school, young people involved in it. But it takes more than that to really be a shining bright light for the Lord in the world in which we live. To take advantage of opportunities. You women have a chance on Tuesday nights for a Bible study with Barb. She's a good teacher. She loves the Lord. She loves the word. And it's an opportunity to grow. There are other Bible studies. There's a small group that meets at the Hubbinger home every other week. There's opportunities to connect in some way where you can enhance your spiritual life and development. Don't let the light dim out. Let it shine brightly for the Lord. When I think about that, I think of a good friend of mine. His name is George Verwer. I've used this illustration before. George Verwer is just a phenomenal guy. He's the founder of Send the Light Operation Mobilization. He's 75 years old. He's still going strong for the Lord. But every once in a while, when he's in the area, he'll give me a call on the phone. Now, I was on one of his teams back in 1964. One team exposure with George Verwer for a summer. And I only met him that summer at the orientation session for a few days. But somehow, we connected. And he had a profound impact on my life. Even to the point that 20, 30 years later, as he's traveling through, he picks up his cell phone and he calls me. And he says, hey, Dunk. Boom! How about that for drama, huh? Mark, we need your help up here later, huh? Anyway, he'd say, is your light still brightly burning for the Lord? Are you in fire for him? I said, George, pray for me. There's room for improvement. So I keep working on it. But thank the Lord that we can let our lights shine brightly for him, not let it dim. Sometimes we hide our lights by not explaining the light to others. We have an excellent course back there, how to give away your faith, and there are tools that you can learn how to verbalize your faith and how you can share that with others. That's not always easy to do. There are some that are experts at it. There are some that just have a natural knack. Like, for instance, the guy that's going to be our speaker on the 24th. I've never met anybody like Chris Schroeder who can share the gospel with anybody in any circumstance. He just has the gift of evangelism. But we all have the gift of being saved, we have salvation, and we need to share that with others. So be a beacon of light. Be a beacon of truth. Don't shut your light off from the rest of the world. Now go back to the Old Testament, to Proverbs chapter 31. God shines his light through our character. Character is showing by your actions that you love what is right in God's sight. The Bible says we cannot be persons of character all by ourselves. We must allow God to build his character in us. So the question is this morning, are you a person, whether you're a mother, a woman, a man, are you a person of character, of excellent character? Matthew reminds us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. The woman that's mentioned in Proverbs chapter 31 is known as the virtuous woman. There's no way in the world that one person, that any person, can emulate this person's lifestyle and her accomplishments. I don't think it's ever designed that we put ourselves under some guilt that I'm never going to be like this woman who did an enormous amount of accomplishments. But it's an example to us. Her strength did not come from her amazing achievements, I wrote down here. They are the results of her reverence and respect for her God. There's no mention of this woman's physical appearance at all in this chapter. Her attractiveness comes entirely from her character. What is your character like? What are some of the marks of a godly character? Well, Proverbs 31 tells us about a mother who understood the value of godly character. King Lemuel, who's mentioned here in chapter 31 here, it's picking up in verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. And she is concerned that her son be one that had character traits being built into his life. He wanted her son to show excellent character or virtue. She wanted him to find a wife with good character as well. And so to teach her son, she described, in Proverbs 31, she described a virtuous woman. Someone who was an outstanding example of what God wants us to be like. And these are a few of the things that I've learned from her life that I've shared before here that I've added to over the past couple of years. We don't know much about King Lemuel. Little is known except that he was one who received wise teachings. He was willing to be taught by his mother. I'm thankful that I had a teachable heart for a while in my life, that I listened to my mom and my dad. I listened to the advice and counsel that they gave, but there came a time when I turned that off. I no longer had a teachable spirit. But King Lemuel, even though not much is mentioned in the Bible about him, he had a teachable heart. He was willing to listen to his mother. His name means devoted of God. Proverbs has a lot to say about women in the Bible, as we know. And how fitting that the book ends with a picture of a woman of strong character, of great wisdom, many skills, and of great compassion. You almost have to read the last verse of this chapter to really get the full impact of this book. Verse 30, it says, "Charm is deceitful, and beauty is blessing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." So don't be overwhelmed when you look at the character traits of this particular virtuous woman. But God wants you to be all that you can possibly be. A person of great value to him, of great worth, of great character. And he wants us to pursue that our whole lifetime, so that we become increasingly more like him day by day, week by week. One of the things that I noticed about this woman as you read through Proverbs chapter 31 is that she was able to make the most of each day of her life. She got up early in the morning. It tells us that in verse 15. She got up early each morning to make the most of each day. She knew that life was a gift from God, her creator. And she wanted to make sure that her son found a woman of the same character traits. She realized that she was a manager of all that he had given to her. Her body, her days, her loved ones, her possessions, everything. Every day that comes from God is a gift that he gives to us. Every day is a new chapter in our lives. You can forget the past. Paul told us that. Forget which is behind. And reaching forward, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't let the past discourage you. I mean, I could have been defeated once and for all if it wasn't for some people taking some time to invest in me. And my youth leader in our youth group, a Christian girl I was dating at the time, who encouraged me to get back on the right track again. And I'm glad that I did. I'm glad that I listened. And for me, going out to Emmaus was the best thing that ever could have happened in my life. And I thank God that he's restored to me some of the years that were wasted. And they were just few. I'm glad it's not a whole entire life. But if you go through periods of the valley and you experience depression and defeat, don't stay there. Don't stay there. God is the God who loves to restore. And wake up each day refreshed, knowing that this is a brand new day. God, help me to use these 24 hours to glorify your name. Help me to make the most of my time. To treat each day as a precious gift that comes from you. That I am a caretaker of all the resources that you've given to me. Help me to take good care of these resources, the health, the strength, the abilities and talents that you have blessed me with. She made the most of each day. She certainly wasn't lazy. She was energetic, full of life and vitality. Another thing that we see is also in verse 15. I'll read the verse again to us. Verse 15 says, she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion of her maidservants. She considers the field and buys it from her profits. She plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. You go on and on and read the list that's mentioned here. I wrote down some of the things that describe this woman. A manufacturer, an importer, a manager, a realtor, a farmer, a seamstress, an upholsterer, a merchant. But her strength did not come from her amazing achievements. It came from her reverence and respect for God. Do not see this woman as a model to imitate in every detail of your life. Let's face it, our days aren't long enough to accomplish everything that she had done. But see her as an inspiration of all that you can be, all that God intends for you to be. You can learn from her industry, from her integrity, from her resourcefulness. The book begins in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Woman is likened to wisdom, positive thing. Woman is also likened to the foolish woman, folly, negative. And woman is likened to a person of virtue. And these are things that we can emulate in our lives if we have the desire to do so. Hard work, fear of God, respect for our spouse, encouraging others, care for others, concern for the poor, wisdom in handling our resources and our money. These are all things that can be seen in the lives of those that let their light shine for the Lord. And these qualities, when coupled with fear of God, leads to, I want to mention three things. Maybe you can hold on to these three things that you can aspire for your life. When you see these things being developed in your life, they lead to enjoyment, success, honor, and worth. Let me ask you a question. Do you enjoy life? Is life an enjoyment to you? Or is it more like a drudgery? Well, let's face it. Some days it is like a drudgery. Some days it is hard to get going. But for the most part, life should be an enjoyment. Life should be something that we embellish, that we love to just enter into a new chapter each day. Whether it's the same old routine, we make the most of each day. There are opportunities that abound, whether you're at work or as a homemaker, opportunities to demonstrate your love for the Lord and be a witness to him. Proverbs is a very special practical book because it shows us how to become wise, how to make good decisions, and how to live to God's ideal and his standards. This woman must have had servants to be as well off as she was, but she wasn't lazy. She looked to see what needed to be done and did it cheerfully. She knew that God had designed work to bring people satisfaction. Work is not a curse, per se. Work is something that God designed for our enjoyment. We need to find satisfaction in the work that God has given us to do. I can't imagine what it would be like for a person to have a job that they dread. They just don't want to go to work that day. Same old, same old. There's just no enjoyment in life. I've never had that experience except maybe stocking shelves at the A&P. as a college student, high school student. I didn't relish the fact of unloading those big trucks and stocking all the shelves, but I look forward to the money that I was getting and to the sheer enjoyment of just putting in a good day's work. And every job that I've had, you know, it's just been tremendous. I love coming here each day. I love being an elder here at this assembly. I love making those pastoral phone calls and visits, reaching out to people in need. I mean, I can't wait to get over here. My wife thinks I spend too much time over here. She's probably right. I need to balance that out, make sure that I'm not neglecting others that are important in my life. But to be a cheerful, willing worker, to look for ways to serve the Lord, using the talents that he's given to us. This woman was not selfless either. She served others. She was unselfish. She spent time on others. She did the family shopping with care. Verse 14, she oversaw the cooking. Verse 15, she made sure that her family was dressed warmly and properly. Verses 21 and 22. So by caring for these individuals, she was showing God-like character in her life. Even though God is all-sufficient and all-powerful, he continually gives himself to us. He watches over us to meet even our smallest needs. So the question I'd like to propose to you this morning is, do we make an effort to look to others to help meet their needs? There are people all around us that have needs. We just need to be open, aware. Sometimes I must admit I can become completely oblivious to people around me. I can give the appearance that I'm listening to somebody, and somehow I'm not. I'm showing the appearance of showing concern, but their words are just going over the top of my head. And I've got to kind of shake my head and say, "No, what were you saying?" And listen with a heart concerned for the needs of others, to show compassion and love and kindness. And a lot of you folks do that, and you're to be commended for that. But we all need to improve, I'm sure that you would say that. When you serve others, you're thinking of others first. Paul tells about that in Philippians. Don't think about your own interests, but the interests of others. Think of them first. And God will take care of our needs in the process. This woman also was one who did a lot of kind things. But she also spoke very kindly as well. You notice verse 12. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And then verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of what? Kindness. Her tongue is the law of kindness. True godly character means kindness in both our words and in our actions. And so I ask myself the question, do my words show kindness, compassion to others? Or is it more wrapped up in myself? Kind words will help you build warm family relationships within the body of Christ here, genuine friendships. When people know that you care, then they'll depend on you, they'll come to you. But they can see through when there's just an indifference to the needs of others. So always speak with kindness. Sometimes our words come across harshly. Sometimes we're misunderstood. Sometimes we have to re-explain what we meant. But the choice of our words is so important, isn't it? And this woman was known for her kindness. She did kind acts, but she also spoke kindly to others. We also notice that this woman earned the trust of others by being responsible. The husband of this virtuous woman knew that he could trust her. She never wasted family goods by using resources unwisely. She worked hard each day. She was showing herself by her lifestyle that she could be trusted. Her husband trusted in her. He must have. He must have been a man of travel. Maybe he was away from the home and dependent on his wife to care for the situation at home, but he could trust her. And I think we see that in verse 11. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. She will have no lack of gain. It's nice to know that you can be trusted. I may have mentioned this before, but it bears repetition. I'm just so thankful that the many days and years that I traveled, that I just knew in my heart of hearts that my wife trusted me implicitly, that I was being faithful to her. when you travel on the road and you're in motels a lot and you're exposed to a lot of garbage, it's so easy to drift into doing things, seeing things that are inappropriate and wrong. And I'm thankful that for the most part, by and large, I was kept free from that. And my wife could trust me. And she's the only person that I've known. And not many people can say that today. That's why when I marry couples, one of the first questions I ask them, I said, are you considering divorce as an option? Divorce is for life. Divorce is life. Marriage is for life. Divorce can be for life too, but it's something that you commit to each other until death do you part. But it's nice to be dependable, reliable, that people can trust you. Sometimes we let people down. I know I had to apologize to Marion Moeller this morning, Thursday was our national day of prayer. And I'm the first one up there usually, and Marion's right there with me. And I had a dentist appointment this Thursday morning that I forgot all about, and then I went and didn't make it. But I didn't even bother to call her. Didn't show up. So she's probably thinking, boy, he's really unreliable this time. Can't really trust that guy Dunkerton, Well, it's just a small example of being dependable, being reliable, trustworthy to your word. Earning the trust of others by being responsible. When I was a boy growing up in my home assembly, in Yonkers, the elders just didn't load us up with all kinds of responsibilities. We had to earn their trust. We had to show by our development, our consistency, that we were moving ahead. You just couldn't get involved right off the bat. You had to prove yourself, as it were. You had to show that there was spiritual interest. And then they gave us more opportunities as we moved along. There's another one here that I see from this individual, and that is the woman of Proverbs 31 understood what her talents were. She understood what her strengths were, and she developed them. She developed them. Discover your God-given abilities. Develop them and use them. Use them creatively. Use them in ways that would bring much glory and honor to the Lord. Each one of you have a spiritual gift. It's hard for me to distinguish between deciphering what people's spiritual gifts are and what their natural talents and abilities are. God gives us both. There's spiritual gifts that are mentioned in three different listings in the Bible. Gift of administration, the gift of helps, and pastoring, and shepherding, teaching. Then there's, each one of us has just been endowed by our Creator with natural abilities. Being able to perhaps sing, perhaps to do this or that. Lots of natural abilities. When I was a kid growing up, my barber, his name was Vinny. Vinny was absolutely convinced that if I really worked hard at it, I could turn pro in the NBA. He really believed in me. I said, Vinny, there's no way. I said, I'm lucky to be starting center for the team in Gorton High School. And I made second team All-City. That's about as far as I went. Go All-Pro, are you kidding me? But he had faith in me. He saw some talent, and he said, if you work at it, you can develop it, you can become very, very good at that. Jim Catron was another one that came alongside of me as my mentor, as a student at Emmaus. He saw potential. He saw some gift. It was raw, hadn't been developed yet, but he saw there was potential in this young man. And he took the time to invest in me. Not that I've turned out to be anything great and spectacular, far from it, but I've come a long way since I was 18. And I thank God for his grace and his help in my life. Develop your gifts and use them. This woman set up a home business. She started with raw wool. She worked the thread, wove it at the cloth, made beautiful clothes. She learned the art of buying and selling goods. She used her special abilities in many, many creative ways to bring honor to her Lord. Find your talents and use them for God. It also learned how to give to those in need. Even though this woman was probably very busy, based on what we've been reading, she noticed people in need and reached out to help them. Look at verse 20. She noticed. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. When a person becomes a person of means and wealth, sometimes they can ignore the needs of those that are around them. And this woman did not let that happen to her. She gave to those that were in need. Do we know of people that are in need? I won't mention, he's not here this morning, but there was a brother that came to me recently and was concerned about a certain other
individual in our fellowship that was maybe struggling financially. And he said, do you think we should help him out? You think we should give him a gift to help him along the way, you know? I said, well, yeah, that's something to think about. We should be aware of that. But the fact is, this young man, he's young in the faith. He sensed a person in need. How he did it, I don't know. But he sensed that this person was in some sort of financial bind. And he was wanting to know, should we help people like that? And we should, and we do. And this woman was so good at helping others that were in time of need. How can you share with what God has given to you? I know there are those here that share with others through financial means. There are those that are very generous givers. There are those that share their talents and abilities. I thank the Lord for people like Michelle, who comes every summer for VBS and does crafts. I'm wondering, one summer she's going to say, that's it. No more, but she's there faithfully year in and year out. Every one of us that have different chores, different opportunities to serve the Lord here, is to continue to look for those needs and meet them with the abilities that God gives to us. And then the last part, before we close today, was to the importance of including God in every part of your day. This woman could work so hard and be so kind and unselfish day in and day out because she feared the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that she was afraid of the Lord. You know what that means, to fear the Lord. It's to be in awe of him, to respect him. It meant to live each day showing reverence to him and relying on him for help. When you fear the Lord, you'll want to please him. You'll ask him to forgive you when perhaps you do wrong, to help you shine with his beautiful character. This woman, her godly character made her a person of great value. Her family, her friends, her community, the leaders, those that were in the gates. We see this in this chapter as well, verse 30. They noticed how she lived. And what did they do? They spoke highly of her. How do people speak about us? How do they speak about us? I hope they speak highly of us so that we in turn can just simply deflect that back to the Lord and give him the honor and give him the glory. People loved and respected her because of who she was on the inside. Her family and God were honored because of the way she lived. She had a bright future. She could look forward with joy to each day and to eternity, for she could face God with confidence. So how to become a person of great value? Well, it's simply this. To live a godly life, first of all, you have to let Jesus into your heart. To allow the Lord, the light of the world, to come in. Living inside of you, John 1:12. As many as received him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God. And then let that light shine out through your character. These are just some character traits. There's lots more that we can look at. But hopefully they'll be an encouragement to us that God wants us to be all that we can be with his strength, to be a witness and an example to all around us of what a Christian is all about. Next Sunday, there'll be two taking baptism, the step of showing all that are observing that I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to live for him. He's going to be the most important person in my life. And those of you who are believers, we pray that you'll be strengthened in the Lord even as a result of our message today. Let's close in a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, please forgive if there have been things that have been said this morning that perhaps were offensive in any way. We pray, Lord, that as I prayed about this message for a long time, that the words that were shared were helpful and beneficial. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful example of this courageous, virtuous woman. It's interesting, again, that there's no mention of her physical attractiveness, but her godly character, her reverence, and her fear for you. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be greatly praised. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to take to heart Matthew 5 and verse 13, that let our lights so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify God in heaven. Lord, help us to live exemplary lives. Help us to keep short accounts with you. We know, Lord, we're not perfect. We're going to sin, but help us to sin less as we grow in our faith and walk with you. Part us with your blessing. And again, we pray for the Shetlick family today. Our hearts are heavy for Alan and Dolores. We know it's tough, and we pray for Catherine at the loss of David recently. It's tough to lose loved ones and those that we love and respect so highly. So we just pray, Lord, for Karen Burnett again. Pray for Paige and Kim. We pray for Connie. Pray for Larry going in for surgery this Wednesday. Pray, Lord, to give the doctors steady hands and wisdom as they take care of delicate issues. And pray for good health restored to each one. So we part us with your blessing, we pray, as we give thee our thanks. And pray these things in your wonderful and precious name. Amen.